I got a text from Smokey just a few minutes ago. They found his cousin. His cousin went missing a few months ago when he was fishing. I think it was back in, what, was it November? He was in a fishing tournament. And they were all out there in the bay, and the wind came across there, and they sunk the boat. He had a 40-some foot boat, and it sunk the boat. Two or three people died. One guy, he clung to the boat and clung to a body of one of his friends all night long laying in the water. He said he could see the Coast Guard helicopters going across, but they didn't see him. But they just now found his cousin's body. He was 54 years old. And he floated up on 60-some miles from the place where they went down. And he was in Virginia where they found him. So, but a lot of things happening, a lot of things going on. And I didn't know this. They had a little uprising over at the prison on what, Tuesday, Debbie?
It was Tuesday, Wednesday.
Her son got punched in the face five times in the face. So y'all pray for that prison. Like it's still a powder keg that could explode. So y'all pray for that. That Lord help the prison guards, everybody be wise, put the fear of God in them, in the prisoners, and it's just crazy, and we'll probably see more of that stuff. Romans chapter 5, great chapter of the Bible. I love the book of Romans, and I think everybody ought to read the book of Romans. You ought to read it time and time again, and the book of Romans will help straighten out some things in your life. It did with me. I tell people to read the book of Romans seven times right after they get saved. Read it about seven times, and it'll help you. And so the Romans talks about justification. And justification means to account, to a God accounts you as righteous and treats, that's the way God treats us once you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior. He says, therefore, being justified by faith. And it's justification comes by faith. And we have faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Everybody's looking for peace in this life. And they try drugs. They try drinking. They try women. They try gambling. They try buying this, buying that, trying to find some peace. And justification, if through faith, will bring peace in your life. Peace with God and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having peace, justification. I wrote down some things about justification here. The Bible talks about the source of our justification is God's grace. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Look at Romans 3, 24. The source of our justification is Romans 3, 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justification is accounted righteous. God accounts you as righteous when you ask Jesus Christ to save you. Justification also in the book of Romans comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we make a big deal about taking the blood out of the Bible. Without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission. We believe the blood of Jesus Christ is the most powerful agent in all the world and all the universe. Because what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So these people got new Bibles and all that stuff. They take the blood out. And the devil hates the blood of Jesus Christ. You think about this. God took precautionary measures when his blood, Jesus Christ, shed his blood on the cross. It just didn't, I mean, his blood was God's blood. And the Bible tells us that in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. That was God's blood. Can God have blood? When man was on this earth, when God made man, he put Adam and Eve in the garden. They had blood in them, but it was pure. It was pure. It was water of life. That's what it was. And when man sinned, man took the fruit. It was water of life running through Adam and Eve. That's why they were pure. I mean, they were definitely innocent, but I mean, it was just pure rivers of water, like Jesus said in Revelation. But they had pure water inside them. Now, man has, you have seven, I think somebody said you have seven quarts of water in your body right now, but then the blood is They say the blood is blue, but when you're cut, it goes turns red. That right? When oxygen hits it, it turns red. So God's blood was in Jesus Christ, and then is shed on the cross, and somehow, when the Bible talks, Jesus told Mary, he said, don't touch me yet, because if you read the Old Testament, the sacrifice, the blood of the lamb, when they crucify or they cut the lamb's throat, and they took that lamb, they caught that blood in a basin. And he took that blood, and that blood went in for an atonement into the Holy of Holies for the whole nation, that is. It went in into the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was, and then the high priest once a year would go in there and take that blood and put it on the Ark of the Covenant between the two cherubims. And he would take that blood in there, and then he would back out. That was for atonement. And the tradition has it that they would tie a rope to his leg in case he wasn't, if he wasn't cleansed when he went in there, he was a dead man. He had to be cleansed. He had to have everything just right when he went into the Holy of Holies. And he took that blood in there in the basin. He was probably shaking like a leaf. Jesus Christ is our high priest. He shed his blood, and the blood was taken up to the throne and then covered the universe. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Justification comes by the blood. Look at it, Romans 5:9. Much more then, being now justified by his what? We shall be saved from the wrath through him. Justification is grace. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, faith. It's also guarantee. The guarantee of justification is the resurrection. The guarantee of your justification is the resurrection of the dead. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 4. Look at Romans 4, verse 25. Romans 4, 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. If Jesus Christ never rose from the grave, he couldn't save nobody. He would be a dead God just like all the other guys that claimed they were God. Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, all the other guys that claimed they're God, Jesus Christ would be another one. But he said when he got to the cross, after they whooped him and beat him, and they said, Pilate said, who do you want, Barabbas or Jesus? And he thought for sure they were going to take Jesus, and they said Barabbas. And the Bible tells us that he was a murderer, and they took a murderer. And they said, we have no king but Caesar. Here's Jesus Christ, the one that loved them. They paid their sin debt, loved them enough to die for him. And he's standing there, blood running down him, and they planted a crown of thorns on his head. And he said, he Pilate even went out a couple times and said, what evil has he done? He didn't do anything wrong. And a lot of times, we as Christians accuse God of doing wrong. God doesn't do wrong. God's not a sinner like we are. But we'll accuse God of being wrong. You say, well, I never say it in my mouth, but we say it by our actions. We say it by the actions. But the proof of justification is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, no man taketh my life. He said, I lay it down. And he said, if I lay it down, I have power to raise it up again. And he raised up from the dead. That's how we know one day he's going to come back and he's going to take us out. He's going to resurrect the dead. Take your Bible, look in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything's through Jesus Christ. See, because the Bible says we were enemies of God. We were enemies of God. Before you're saved, if you're here today, you're not saved. You're an enemy of God. You're an enemy. And when I quoted John 3:16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That was past tense. He's already paid. He already proved his love. And if you reject him, then you face his wrath.
That's right. Amen.
So God is love. The Bible tells us that. And he loves his children. But when it comes to the world, the Bible says he's angry with the wicked every day.
Amen.
He's angry. Now, I mean, one day he's going to come back, and the world's going to turn into a literal hell on earth. It's going to turn, before he comes back, it's going to turn into a literal hell. That's why it's so important to get people saved and tell them about the love of God. Being justified by faith. But what happens is the devil gets us so sidetracked and so many other things. We get so caught up in our own little world. And we have peace, the Bible says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. The channel of justification is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have peace. Man, I I'm not worried about dying no more. Before I was saved, I used to worry about dying. And I, at first, I didn't care. But then you get to what place, I'm not worried about dying. I know where I'm going. So can you know that for sure? Yeah, I know where I'm going. I know exactly if I died, if I dropped dead here this morning, guarantee you, I know where I'm going. No doubt. You say, oh, because you're a preacher. No, no. You're a good person. No, no. There's none good. No, not one, brother. Amen. We're all still sinners, but we're saved sinners. There's nobody in here better than somebody else. There's nobody. We're just saved sinners. We're saved on our way to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for us. I'm trusting in him. And if you don't have trust in him, then you're putting your trust somewhere in the wrong place. And here, look what the Bible says. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand. It says we stand in his grace. You know what? That means God's wrath is not going to come upon us. When he judges this world, his wrath, we're standing in grace. I've told lost people, I said, man, they said, well, I'm not saved, I'm going to tell God. I said, look, God still had grace on you, you're still alive. Amen. And you deserve to be in hell. And I know I deserve to be in hell, right? I mean, for the sins since I've been saved, I deserve to be in hell. For the thoughts that I've thought this week, I deserve to be in hell. So do you. So do you. Just for your very thoughts. But the Bible says, by whom also we have access. Okay? I mean, Jesus Christ made access for us. He's the door. And when he said, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall come in and out, have find life. So Jesus Christ has made access for us to get in through Jesus Christ. And boy, thank God for that. Justification gives you peace, and I have peace with God, and he's given me grace. And look what it says. You know, that's why it's so important for you to build your faith up. See, a lot of times people say, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, that's all I need to know. You're just supposed to build your, the Bible tells us to build your most holy faith. Amen. And the reason why you build your holy faith is why you're exercising your faith. That's why you're in Sunday school, that's why you're around faith coming by hearing by the word of God. The more your faith is built, the more confidence you have in him, and the more you're telling other people about him, and you're walking with him, and you don't desire the path to go back to the old ways. You don't have that old man mentality. The old man's still there, but you don't have that desire to go back to drinking, drugging, and all that stuff. It changes as your faith grows. Okay. Now, I've seen people get saved, and they're still doing drugs, still drinking. I did for the first year after I was saved. I was up and down, up and down, up and down. But as my faith grew, I didn't want to stay a baby like I preached last week. I didn't want to stay a baby. I wanted to grow so my faith would get stronger, so I would rely on him, and that way I can pass my faith down to my family. By the way I live, the way I act, I want to pass it down. I want to pass that faith down. It's by grace. And it says, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand. I stand in the grace of God. That's where I'm standing. And if you're saved, you're standing in the grace of God. Because of why? You say, man, grace is, they say it's unmerited favor, but it's even more. It's you don't deserve it. I read, Dr. Ruttman has a note in here. I'll read it to you. He has a note in Romans chapter 5 in his Bible here. And he talks about, a judge that was in New York City back in the 1930s. And the judge, here's the note. He said, verse 6 through 8 defines the love of God for sinners. Love is God's nature, but he does not love indiscriminately. But God not only hates the sin, but he also hates the sinner for in his sins. Because the Bible says God's angry at the wicked every day. It says these six things do the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. And then he goes on down and tells about, where is it at? I'm looking for this thing. About a judge. Where is that verse? Did somebody find that for me? I just read it this morning. about a judge that was in, oh, here it is. Back in 1936, LaGuardia, who was later the mayor of New York City, was a probate judge. A poor man was caught for stealing bread, was brought to his courtroom. Judge LaGuardia found the man guilty and fined him $10. That's 1936. He says he fined the man, and then he paid the fellow's fine himself. The judge paid the guy's fine. He said, I fine you $10 for stealing bread. And then the judge, he fined the courtroom $50. He fined the whole courtroom $50 for living in a town where a man had to steal bread. Wow. Awesome. Then he took up an offering and took up $47.50 collection from the court to give to the poor man.
Amen.
He said, that's grace. That's grace. What God does, he paid your fine, and then he turns around and blesses you.
Yeah. Amen.
Takes care of you and lets you live. That's grace. We deserve whatever's coming to us, we deserve it, but God's grace, he's had upon us. And once you get a hold of that, once you realize, man, you really haven't got what you deserve. What I deserve, even now, I deserve to be in hell. I know that. And what that'll do to you is cause you to be thankful. And it'll cause you to be grateful. And you'll start saying, thank you, Lord. Every time you get something, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for being so good to me. And what happens is, the Bible says in the last days, men shall be unthankful. And they're unthankful for what they have. And here you are born in America. Everybody's killing themselves to try to get to America.
That's right, amen.
And here we are in America. We got every kind of food, sources, every restaurant. My wife and I went out last night just looking for a restaurant. Every restaurant was crowded on Saturday night. Everywhere we went, except for one little diner, we stopped there and looked at that, and it had only two cars. I said, my food must not be no good. We ain't gonna stop there. So we look for a place that's packed, you know. But it says back to Romans chapter 5, verse 2, it says, by whom also we have access by faith. So your faith ought to be growing. You ought to be in this Bible. You ought to be fellowship with the Lord, growing in grace and, man, in faith and getting more closer to him. And it says, wherein we stand. Man, thank God we stand in grace and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And when that Bible talks about hope, it's a sure hope. It's not like, I hope so. I hope I'm right. I hope he's coming back. It ain't like that. It's talking about a sure hope. Jesus Christ is called the blessed hope in Titus chapter 2. He's called the blessed hope. And he's coming, it's sure. And we stand and we have hope in the glory of God. And God doesn't lie. Look at verse 3. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Do we? It says we glory in tribulation. Yeah! Glory! Hallelujah! Bring it on, Lord! Put it on me! We're a bunch of crybabies. Lord, bring a little trouble in your life. Why? Why me? Why me, Lord? Yeah. That guy sang that song. Why me, Lord? Hey, we glory in tribulation. Paul did. I haven't got to that place. I haven't got to the place where, you know, you're in a hurry. You're trying to get to a church. I never forget one night, man, I was trying to get to this church in North Carolina. And I left the camp, and I was supposed to preach this guy on Wednesday night. Morganton or somewhere in North Carolina. And a guy says, take my vehicle. I got a phone in there. And back then, the phone was in the vehicle, you know. Now everybody's got the cell phone. But I go out half-cocked a lot of times. I just go out and I just take off and I say, I'll find my way. I'll get it. That's the way most men are anyway. And you ladies ain't got an amen on that. It's too much. And I took off, man, on Wednesday night. It was a guy's name was Gene Googe, and I was supposed to preach for him. And so I'm running all over. No, it's Hickory, North Carolina. That's where it was. I'm running all over Hickory, North Carolina, and I said, oh, man, I felt like a big shot. I'm riding around this guy's vehicle. He's got a phone, so I take his phone, and I dial Gene's number. But I didn't do the area code. I just thought, I thought it automatically changed area codes as you crossed over. So I'm dialing his number, and some guy, I answer the phone, I say, hey, Gene, I'll be there in a little bit. And I said, where's your church? What's the name of your church? And the guy goes, who is this? I said, this is Brother Ryman. He says, what do you want? I said, Gene there? He said, ain't no Gene here. And man, I thought, man, he gave me the wrong number. So I pulled over. I hung the phone up. I looked at the number. I said, that's the right number. So I'm running around Hickory. So then I'm going crazy in Hickory. I'm running through town, and every church I go by, I went, aah! I'm pulling up. I run inside. Is Gene Goose here, Pastor? And they said, no. I said, I ran out the door. And I jump in the car, going down. And I'm going to another church. I must have hit 5 or 6 churches that night. And going in there on Wednesday, they probably thought I was coming in to shoot somebody or something. I came running. I went running. I got desperate then. And it's already like 7:15. And I get back on the phone. I said, is Gene Gooch there? The guy goes, there ain't no Gene Gooch. I told you that a little while ago. You called here. And I finally, man, I'm take off again. I'm running through Hickory. And all the way up to about 8:30, I'm going. Finally, I called this guy again. He goes, where are you calling from? I said, I'm in Hickory, North Carolina. He said, man, this is Delaware. I had a brother's vehicle from Delaware. And he goes, you're calling Delaware. And I said, oh, he said, you got to use the area code. Finally, I said, area code. Church was already over. I pulled in the parking lot, and I sat there, and I said, God, I'm sorry. So I called Gene Gooch, and I was telling him, he goes, I could see you, man. I could see you going crazy. I did. I went crazy. I'm running around. I mean, tires. I was going up one-way streets, going 70 miles an hour. I'm ducking cars. I thought, these people are going the wrong way. Now I'm going around. I just couldn't see straight. But anyway, how do I tell you that? Tribulation. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Tribulation, work of patience. You go through stuff, and God's trying to teach you patience. When you go through stuff, he's just trying to teach you patience. Whenever you go to get a job, we've gone through this. Whenever you go get a job, the guy says, you got any experience? And what he's asking you, have you been through anything? In the trade, have you been through anything in your trade? And tribulation worketh, look what it says. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? You know why God allows you to go through something? Trying to teach you patience. And I've always said this, never pray that God would, give you patience. Because if you ask for patience, that means you're going to go through some trouble to get it. Now, I've been through enough trouble in my life not to want any more trouble. And being around other people's trouble and families and crying with them and begging God for them. And I've been around enough of that. And some people seem like they never get it. They just constantly cause trouble in their own lives as Christians. They constantly bring trouble upon themselves. And you think, when are they going to learn? It's like watching a baby try to walk. And finally, you know, if a baby continually at 2, then 4, and 5, and 6, and 7, 8, and still can't walk, something's wrong. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation, not also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, there's something else. When you got saved, God sealed you. He circumcised you. We went through that last time. He circumcised your flesh from the soul, and he's allowed the Holy Ghost of God to be inside you. Kenny, his wife was telling me that sometimes he slips up with his words, and I have too. I was preaching in Canada, and I said something from the pulpit while I was preaching. These Filipinos were there. They just fell on the floor laughing. And then I was so embarrassed that I said it. I didn't say poop. I said the other word. I didn't say dung either. I said the other word. As I was preaching. And I was talking about somebody shoveling out some dung out of a chicken. But I said, they shoveled out the chicken. And I said it. And the people fell out laughing. And I went, because I haven't said any bad words. like a fellow said, he said, you write them down, I'll sign the paper, but I haven't said any bad words, man. And I couldn't believe I said it. Here I was, a new church up in Canada, Montreal. I'm preaching at this church, and I said it. And I went, I'm sorry, folks. I said, really? I turned beet red. I said, I'm sorry, folks. I don't talk like that. That stuff don't come out of my mouth. I said, let me back up, and I'm going to go again. And I got to the same place again, and I said it again. And there was like 50 Filipinos there. And they fell on the floor. They were laughing so hard. And I turned beet red. I was going, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was probably why they laughed even more, because I didn't mean to say that. And it came out. Then the pastor joked and kidded me about it and mocked me over it. But I don't mean to say it. I don't want no bad words. The Bible says, can blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth?
No. Tell everybody it's wrong.
It's wrong. It's wrong to say that. Yeah. Ken's always worried about people repeating and doing what I do. That's what he's, no. But that's wrong. You shouldn't do it. Amen. And hope make not ashamed. It says, look what verse 5 says. For hope make not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And we're not afraid to say Holy Ghost. Amen. A lot of Baptists are afraid to say Holy Ghost. You know, they think because of charismatic and all that stuff. I had a preacher trying to tell me the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost is two different things. No, it's not. It's same. But the Holy Ghost. But it says, shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. And notice capital H, holy. Holy. Which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. But it says, yet peradventure for a good man would even dare to die. You know, you hear about stories about during World War, Civil War, soldiers came in and said, 13 of our guys were shot, and this town did it. They were Yankees. Our Yankees came to southern town and said, 13 of you, somebody shot 13 of our men, they're dead. 13 of the men of this town are going to die. And they lined all the men up. They said, 13 going to die. Now, y'all, he said, this one, and went down. And they picked one of the young men there to die. They're going to have a firing squad shoot him. And an old guy stepped up and said, sir, captain, can I take his place? He's got wife and family. Can I take his place? He said, sure. 13's got to die. And they shot all 13. So scarcely for a good man will some even dare to die. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet prevention for a good man, some would even dare to die. But look here, Jesus Christ hung on that cross. He hung on that cross, and the world was spitting on him, punching him, beating him, mocking him. Saying, if you're really God, get off that cross. He said, lama sabachthani. God forgive them. They know not what they do. My God, why has thou forsaken me? He took your place. Amen. He took your place. But God, look at verse 8, we'll stop with this. But God commendeth his love towards us. And that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died for people before they were saved. I mean, they were wicked. I think about all the wickedness I've done, all the things I've been into, and all the people I've hurt, and God died for me. He gave me a chance. He gave me a chance to come to him and be forgiven. I led that guy to the Lord Friday night. I told you all last Sunday. I said, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God's forgiven me of my past. Man might never forgive me, but God forgave me. Now, there's going to be repercussions of that old past sometimes. I went back to try to make things right with people. Things I stole, the things I lied, things I've done, try to make it right. But there's a lot of times I couldn't get back to the places to make it right. I said, Lord, if you ever bring them in front of me, I'll make it right. I'll apologize. I'll tell them I'm sorry. I watched this movie with Samson the other night. And it was pretty decent, but they used new Bibles and stuff like that, but I'm not for that. They used new Bibles and all that, but it was pretty good. It's called War Room. And I watched that thing, and they got this old black lady praying, and then this guy gets saved, gets right with God, and he was stealing from his company. That's how you know a guy really got saved. He was stealing drugs from his company, selling them. He lost his job. They could have prosecuted him. He took back all the drugs that he had stored to sell, and he goes back in and puts it on the owner's, the CEO's desk, and the assistant CEO. And the assistant CEO says, lock him up, have him arrested. He said, how much money did you make? How much money did you make? And the guy said, $10,000. You going to give that back? Yes, sir. I'm giving that back to him. And he said, we'll see. And he said, the owner said, he said, well, call the police right now. And the CEO says, no, wait, let's wait for 2 days. Wait. So he says, the next day, the guy saying, well, his wife saying, what do you think? He said, I'll probably go to prison. Probably go to prison for it. So the next day, before the next day, the CEO knocks on the door and says, can I come in? He said, I've been thinking about what you've done. Been thinking about all this stuff. He sat down with him. He said, are you going to pay the $10,000? He said, I'll give it to you before you leave. I'll give you a check. The check's good. He said, I'm not going to bring charges against you. He said, you really impressed me. So when a person gets saved, there ought to be some changes. There ought to be some repentance. There ought to be wanting to do what's right. Let him that stole steal no more. I was a thief. And I've probably been a thief since I've been saved at times. Stealing time, not doing my job like I should, stuff like that. But ask God to forgive you. So, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Now, there's consequences. Once you get saved, there's always consequences. That law of sowing and reaping is still in effect. You reap what you sow. You sow good things, you'll reap good things. You sow bad things, you'll reap bad things. And if you sow good things, the Lord will bless you for it. And he'll give you rewards for it. Isn't that something? Doc used to always say, he said, can you imagine God rewarding you here and there? You get double portion. Just like Joseph in the Bible. He got double portion. And God will give you a double portion here and there. So, I don't believe that serving God benefits anybody. You don't know what you're talking about. Amen. You don't know what you're talking about. Give me a double portion, Lord. And he has. All right, Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for your goodness. I pray God bless Father Sunday School and bless the services coming up. Save that soul nearest hell, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.